Welcome to the first episode of Health Matters. I am Tom Myers, and I'm here with Christian Förster. And the idea of this podcast is that we are combining our ideas about how to be resilient in business. From which point of view would you like to address that, Christian?
Hi, Tom. Health matters. Yes, health matters for people and health matters for organizations. These are two levels. And during this little conversation, we try to combine these views. I've had the chance to help organizations since many, many years to improve towards excellence, as we call it. And on the way to these desired states, I found people in organizations who didn't feel well, who didn't have the health that they wanted. And this, of course, radiated into the organization. So there is a clear correlation between the two levels. And this is what we want to address, Tom, right?
Indeed. And what fascinated me was that when you were talking about business transformation, and you're doing large transformations, yes? So if I had it right in a previous conversation, you know, you would have an organization of 15,000 employees or even more, and you help them through a transformation, which is in today's time where there is so much upheaval, where so many processes need to change. And also from, for example, the World Economic Forum, that is saying, no, it's more going towards the stakeholders and the health of the stakeholders, or more human-centered. And when I saw your profile and when I was reading on your website what you do and the conversations that we had so far, I thought it was, you know, what about my point of view into that? Because I can imagine that when you're working with CEOs, when you're working with management, when there is a system that needs to be changed, but of course you cannot stop the first system and then just implement the second. Somewhere there is an overlap. And then I think when there is an overlap, there is in a way two jobs that different persons are doing. And if I think about it even further, I was thinking so at one stage it's going to be really difficult. There is a conflict. And then sometimes, and it's a very natural thing, it's very human, that one says, let's quickly do it the old way because that's the way we know it. And that's the way we will quickly go and do something to make the process faster while the other one is not exactly outlined yet. And as soon as that happens, the more and more you go back to the old system, and that new thing is going to be completely ignored. That's one aspect that I think all that money that goes into that, that seems to be a waste of time, of money, of resources. But the other thing is that when this conflict comes in, then there is also a lot of stress. And when one is stressed, of course, that's the moment when one goes back to what one knows, because then you go to the security. And so the more that I start seeing and understanding what you do, the more that I start to see from my word, you know, how can I contribute into this as an osteopath and body-centered stress coach? Because we need today not to go back to the past, right? The past has got us here, and here is a big, big problem. No, we have to start incorporating futures thinking into our present decision and change, not from past experience, but from completely new ways of thinking and processes. Do you resonate with that, Christian?
Absolutely, Tom. And you know, I guess if you review your patients, people who come to you, and maybe if you think how many people should come to you and they don't, since they just don't, well, either they don't know that you are, or they don't know that there is a way where somebody can help them. I always say you need some humbleness, I think, first, just to realize that something's wrong with your life as an individual. And then you need somebody like you, Tom, who inspires me, who shows me, look, we can work together, and then you feel much better. And then you can achieve different things. And the same applies for organizations. You know, I don't use all these fancy tools and methods. I mean, I've been in big industry for many, many years, and I've used all this stuff, and it's all complex. And at the end of the day, it doesn't change anything. So I've developed as an anti-consultant, I would say, Tom, by just using common sense. And the only prerequisite of organizations who come to me and ask me, can you help me with the transformation, is I say, are you humble enough? Do you realize that there is some change needed? Okay. And the second step is then that I try to inspire them. To inspire them to understand what they could do or what they could probably achieve, you know? And I think this is, if I understand correctly what you do, you talk about feelings. How do you want to feel tomorrow? I think this is one of the key questions that you ask your patients. And this is what I ask the organizations, okay? How do you want to feel as an organization tomorrow or in 2 years' time? Some call this a vision or something, you know, but this is just words. And if organizations understand, wow, we could develop in this higher, more desirable state that is probably less stressful and is probably better for not only for us as organizations, but also for our customers. And maybe also our suppliers could profit from it. And maybe we even do something good for a society and environment. You know, this is the picture. And as soon as you have them there, that organizations understand from an initial state of humbleness, there is something we could do to feel better, then the work is almost done. Since what I do then is just to guide and support and coach leaders in these organizations to go this transformation. I support them with some experience I have, but at the end they do it themselves. And this is the only way where you make sure that transformations are sustainable, that they stay, and the organization does not fall back, to use your picture, Tom. And if organizations are in this transformation, and now I come back to you, what you do to people since many years as an osteopath and as a body-centered coach.
Stress coach.
That is exactly what I would have needed in many of my transformations around the world. You know, I've worked in many different cultures and in many different parts of the world, and people are totally different and the culture is different. But what I find in most of these transformations, if I think back, is that I communicated, dealt with, worked with leaders and people who didn't feel well, who were with their back on the wall, felt like sandwiched between a rock and a hard place, as you say in the US, I think. So they were in a quite desperate situation. They all have their families, of course, their private lives, but there's nothing, not a lot of time. So in other words, part of the success factors, I think, of a successful transformation is that we help people and specifically leaders in these organizations to feel better, to be able and open enough to transform this organization to feel better. It all starts with individuals, Tom, I think. And what you've done and what you keep doing is fantastic, since this is the spark, I think, that you need, not only for an individual, which is important enough, don't get me wrong, but if we now develop this spark into a flame that it infects other people in a good sense in an organization so that everybody feels better, what an impact we could create. Tom.
Yes. And that was my concern. I'm looking at transformation in businesses. Of course, the business doesn't transform itself. It's people who do that. If these people are stressed, then of course their capacity of adaptation is reduced.
Absolutely.
Their capacity to create new ideas or even trust other people is reduced.
Yes.
And all of that is a very biological process, because the stress response is ancient, hasn't really adapted itself to this new environment, which is too fast. We're going through different big transformations in one lifetime, while the process of stress or anything in the body needs different generations to actually adapt. And especially what interests me in this case with you, okay, you have the physical body that needs to be supple, it needs to be stress-free, the muscles need to unwind so that it, you know, that it just can feel good. But also from a brain perspective, a stress response changes the vascularization of your brain. It's not every part is vascularized in the same system. And why is that important? Because, of course, the vascularization of the brain is the vehicle of the distribution of glucose and oxygen, or that what you need or the cells need to actually be active. So imagine that when you're going to a stress response where the reptilian brain, your autonomous system is far more active, which is central, but that cortex, certainly the prefrontal cortex where you think and where you start to reflect, and at the back is more about creativity, the images. Now, if you can imagine that those parts get less blood, so less oxygen and less glucose, of course, that doesn't work as well. And this is scientifically proven that over long periods of stress, so I'm talking about chronic stress, not the stress of 20 minutes or something like that, that parts of the brain shrink. And why does it shrink? Because the blood flow is reduced and the building blocks for brain growth and for creating new neurons and for creating these links is, of course, not there. Now, all of that I can see that I can help with that because that's what I do every day to help unwind the system, but not only the system in the brain, but also the body. Everything needs to follow, of course. And it's a very physical, hands-on approach that I have, which I call body, mind, and educational approach. Because there is, you do the body, but the body has an influence when you work on it on the mind. It's, for example, when you're not so stressed, you can think better, you can see clearer, you feel less stressed, so you can handle the world better. But also you need to accommodate that with some knowledge. Yeah, why did it get into that system? Because when you know how the vehicle works, and that's what I find so fantastic, we learn how to drive a car, but have we ever learned how to drive this vehicle for life? Yes. And to create all your dreams? And I'm, you know, for the people that are listening, I'm showing to my body, yes, this is, the body is a vehicle for all your dreams, for all the love you can give and receive, for all the realizations. And the way you treat it, of course, has an influence on those dreams, on the business, the adventures that you want to create. And especially now that business transformation and digital transformation, which is going very fast, exponentially fast. We need to really be with it from a brain perspective. And I'm seeing it, that it's not happening. So I want to contribute to that. And that's also why I started this conversation with you, Christian, because I'm not a business person. I'm self-employed. I've worked in big companies. I worked on a cruise ship one, which is about 1,000 crew for 1,800 passengers. But I've been out of that for more than 20 years. And because I don't know how these big organizations are run, I just wanted to have this conversation with you. So, but also that feeling is so interesting. You talked about feeling. How does a business want to feel is exactly the same. How do you want to feel? What businesses also have is they have a goal. Yes, they have a project, they have a purpose, and they have a mission. Yeah, I'm asking people, how do you want to feel? Maybe you could give yourself a goal or a purpose or a mission. And a business does the same thing. What purpose do I want to give my business for the betterment of the world or for something, a service that is needed? And of course, when you have that kind of project out there, then, of course, you need to start doing it. But also, you need to build in parameters to evaluate that, am I still on the course of my purpose, of my goal, of my motivation? Same in the individual as in the company. And if it's not, that you can negotiate or you can do something to make it, again, aligned. Three steps. And it's exactly what businesses have as well, I believe.
Tom, what I've just learned from you is absolutely amazing. It starts with all these explanations, how the brain works, and that brain needs blood, of course. You know, I'm a natural scientist by training. I'm a nuclear physicist, actually, so I understand this, but I didn't know it. And it's amazing, absolutely. And, there's one thing I had to think back in my life where I was totally stressed back in a big international organization as an employee many years back. And I think there were moments where there was so much to be handled, so much to be done, that it was just impossible, given the fact that I also had a family and small kids and stuff. So the picture that I created in my brain is just to move on for another 2 hours was to work like a robot. Isn't it interesting? So I imagined I'm a robot, and the robot does this, and then he does this, and then he does that, okay? And so this is how I literally survived in these situations where they were so desperate in many different dimensions that you couldn't possibly manage it, right? So I just imagined I'm a robot, and then I survived. But now going back to organizations, it's the same there. I found organizations who just do their daily work, their daily job, and they serve their customers as good as they could or as good as they wanted. But they didn't look beyond. And you mentioned this vision and the mission that an organization has, a purpose in life. Yes, they all have their purposes and visions and missions. They have these wonderful websites. But on the other hand, I find many organizations that just go, and you mentioned the cruise ship, without a captain, you know, showing them what they can expect at the end of the journey or something. And this is what we need to give people and organizations back, I think. First of all, the understanding. We can always transform this picture of the brain and all this, you know, to organizations. It's very similar, I think. And the other thing is, you said we need to be open, and we need to understand that if we are not free, if we don't feel well, if we are not healthy, if we don't have an open view into the future, we will not achieve anything. We may be doing our homework, we may be surviving, but is that what we want as human beings? And is that what human beings want in organizations? Since the funny thing is, I can always repeat, I mean, organizations are not just, you know, structures or something. Organizations is people. And yes, there are structures, and there is IT, and there's machines, and there's production, and there's all that. But at the core of organizations is always people. So and people with brains, and people the way that you describe them, Tom. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and I can just have this mental picture, blood flow with energy that needs to get somewhere. But also, of course, you need to, I'm going to repeat that. There are parts that are autonomous. My heart beats, my breath rate, my digestion system. But for example, there are things that I need to do. Yes, I need to eat, I need to drink, and I need to exercise. I need to slow down. You know, I need to somewhere, the stress response when a car comes down the road and I'm in the middle, I cannot think, oops, a car, or what will I have for dinner this evening? No, I need to jump. I need to run away from that car. So that's an automatic system. But at the same time, I need to take time to rest, to relax, to recuperate, and to regenerate. That's something that is not very natural. In the way autonomous, yeah? It's something voluntary. Also, having a purpose and a mission, it doesn't really come to you. It's something you need to do. So the more that I'm looking at human behavior or human being, and being the right word, is that there are these two systems. There are things that go autonomous, and there are things that you need to do. You know, you have many automated systems in a company, but of course, you need to make sure that certain things are being provided so that autonomous system can actually function. Yes. So again, there are two parts of that are so similar. But cash flow, yeah, cash flow needs to come in. So let's say that's the energy to do certain work. Well, is the body any different than that? And give me a moment. I'm just going to take something which is, for the people that are watching this on YouTube. My famous model.
Magic model. Tom, show us how this works.
Yeah, this is what's called a toroflux. And you, as a nuclear physicist, you know exactly what, yes, you know, what that represents, because it's used in the newer models of nuclear fusion. So stress is when the demands become higher than the resources. So I'm going to show a part that there is still enough resource. So it's a system. It's like a spring. When you push on the spring, it goes down, but it rebounds out. Now, when the demands become higher than the resources, then of course that spring doesn't come up anymore. It just stays blocked, compressed. Well, muscles or the stress response. So my task and your task in a company is to find from why is this blocked and how can I release it? Yes, to bring it back into vibrancy. And for me, it's with my hands, I open it up or I have a little rebound effect onto it. And it's so important that we understand and visualize that this is what life is. And the more that I'm starting to understand where you're coming from, Christian, is that it's exactly the same into companies. But again, from the point of view of the human, the business person, the manager, the CEO, or anybody into that organization, if the management is stressed, of course, it filters down to everybody else. And that's the model as well. If the squeeze gets from the top and on and from the bottom, and that whole process, all that system from management is squeezed and not resilient and not capable anymore somewhere to adapt just from a physical point of view and from the brain point of view, then of course everybody will be affected. And again, then I think but why isn't there is more help? And definitely now in this kind of transformation processes, these people are so key, their lives, yeah, because many people get stressed, get cardiac arrest or get cancer afterwards because they just haven't been taking care of the body. I've taken too much stress. I can handle it. I can handle it. I'm really, really strong. And then they retire and die. Is that really what you want? Don't you want to benefit from the beauties of life, or from what life has to offer, from your family, from your kids, from your grandkids? Because if you're stressed, all of that is impacted. But not only that, it also the lives, the families, the jobs of everybody around in that company. And for many companies, it's also the next company that supplies and so forth. So there is a whole kind of chain reaction. So if we can work together, if we can work on, we need to work on the process, the business part, and we need to work on helping the people that are responsible to implementing that, that they can really stay resilient, stay aligned, stay on top of things from a body perspective, then the success rate, in my mind, can be increased so much, but also the experience. And again, if we go to the World Economic Forum, it's all about experience. It's about that human-centered. Well, that manager is human too. Even Elon Musk is human. Even I think it's sometimes somebody's superhuman and really big respect. And I really want to interview him one day just about his, this kind of aspect as well for himself. Somebody who works 80 yes. or plus hours a week and he can do that, but he looks great. And he's doing something really right for himself, because when you look at him, he stays on top of things. So I want to know his secret.
Tom, the way you explain things is absolutely amazing. And I mean, I really love this Toraflux for different reasons. Yeah, I mean, that's the first time I think you explain what resilience is. You know, the funny thing is, organizations keep using all these words. You know, I keep hearing resilience since 10 years in big organizations, big automotive producers. But nobody can explain what that means, okay? So people in organizations, even leaders, that I talk to, since I use interviews to help organizations to understand what they want to achieve. And so they tell me in private, outside of this interview, there is these strange words, and resilience is one of them. We have to use them since we need to be more resilient, our CEO told us. But honestly, we don't know what that means. And the other thing is, some keyword from you is rest. I remember most times of my life, I just kept running towards the next goal, running to next toward the next benchmark or whatever you call it, whether it's family, whether it's raising kids, finish school, whatever it is, or achieving the next position in an organization. And it's so typical. I find that, when I assess organizations to find out where they are, how good they are really, I talk to 200 people in 3 days, right? at all levels of the organization. And then you find out that most of these people just run and run and don't stop. They never stop. You know, the most extreme situation is when I left a big corporate organizations as an employee and started my own business 20 years ago, some or even many of my fellow employees told me, why do you leave? Why don't you just finish your 10 or 15 years to your retirement? Then you can do what you want. But imagine, is that the target of your life, to be retired and then you can do what you want at the age of 67? That's crazy, right? But many people have this goal in their heads, and then they have mortgages and stuff, you know, that also end at that age. I mean, that's crazy. If you just run your life towards your retirement, and then you hope that everything will be like a paradise. And of course it's not, since I've seen people who didn't survive their retirement by 3 months.
I have seen that. Yeah, and I think for the people that are listening or watching this, think about who you know or that you've heard of that retired and dies. It's running to your death. And I want to make another allegory here, because what I'm seeing a lot, that people give good advice. Somebody's overweight, stressed, not very sporty. And then they say, oh, go and do some running. It will do really good. The likelihood that that person does it and then dies running because of strain on the heart is enormous. It happens every day. Because you can imagine, stress means that the heart rate goes up, the blood pressure is up, and your muscles are tense. What do you do when you go running? It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm not generalizing this, because we cannot do that. There are people, sports people, that have, you know, that have a lot of stress and then they go running, and for them it's the relaxation because they can switch off their minds and things like that, but they're used to it. Yes. So there isn't that, that's another category of people. So I'm not saying that this is for everybody, but it is happening. And that is something really scary. And it's the same thing. There is leisure sickness, it's called. It's the people that get sick in the weekends or on holiday. So they had a really stressful, there are people that are very stressed over in their work, and then, oh, finally that holiday. And then their back goes out, see that very often, or they get migraines, they get the flu. Yes. And that is like the body saying from, you know, you've used me and I need, you know, I have not the capacity anymore just to, you know, to keep up. And you, in that break, the system just crumbles down. It's called leisure sickness. This is real. Yeah. And this is what I want to prevent. And that is what rightly what you're saying. If you're just that goal, forget it. Because when you're then 67, then of course, what do you think is going to happen? All the bobos will come up. Yes. And you will not be able to enjoy that retirement. And then you've worked so hard for what? Is that really what people want? I can't imagine that. If you really start talking to yourself and you ask yourself, is that what I want? No. And then ask yourself a few times, really, 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 yeah? Oh, I think, no, not really. You know, I want to enjoy my life. Yeah, I want to. And it affects everybody. It affects the family. How many relationships collapse because of the stress?
Yes.
And then you think, from my word, you know, just why do we pay so little attention, real attention to it? And it's not going to solve it with mindfulness or just with a small meditation or just with changing your mind shift. It can do a lot of things. And for some people that works. But most of the time, stress is a physical experience that needs physical approach and the mindfulness or and the change of mindset, the change of habits. And this is why I think that the work today, when the world is changing, when huge transformations need to be put in place, and soon with 5G, when there is even more transformation due to the Internet of Things and more automation, the rate of adaptation and the quickness with which we need to adapt is increased. But this, the body itself, is not. So how do we navigate these changes. It's not for nothing that the people call me TomTom the Health Navigator. Yeah.
You are, Tom. I just known you 20 years earlier, you know? I could have saved many, many disappointments in my life. Sometimes I think, you know, it's a miracle that I'm still alive. So I've experienced everything, you know, total stress, as I said, in a robot role, a leisure sickness, very well known, you know, and everything. So I even developed and survived cancer, meanwhile, and I'm still alive. That's amazing. Probably due to wonderful people like you, who give me more hope and inspiration that, yes, we can change. And the other thing is, I keep discussing these things on a different level, not knowing all of you know, of course. It's about retirement. Since I'm old enough that people ask me, you know, when are you going to retire? And my answer is never, okay? Since I'm deeply convinced that if you stop working and if you stop using your brain in terms of, you know, not having this intellectual challenges, then probably, and this is my simplistic understanding, Tom, is that body and mind will say, well, if you don't need me, you know, I deteriorate. And if you're older, you deteriorate faster. There's no question about that. So that's one thing, okay, so that I'm deeply convinced that we need to challenge our body and our mind more, even when we're getting a bit older, but we shouldn't overdo it, right? This is what I learned from you again and again, and enjoy moments and enjoy what you have right now, and not only wait to get this enjoyment next year when I have achieved this next benchmark. You know, one picture in my head I want to share with you. I have the pleasure to work with and have as a friend one of the best golf players. He's a bit older now, but what he told me someday, and he's very open with me, he said, you know, I've never enjoyed golf. I just play and try to be better than the other and try to score more and reduce my handicap. But to be very honest, he told me, I never enjoy it. Isn't that sad? Tom, imagine, there's one of the best golf players, and he never enjoyed playing. He just, you know, and not even, you know, a very high score in a competition or something, you know. And there's this other story that other golf players would share with you. It's a common thing that they say, even after a fantastic match where I won and I got an award or something, okay, you remember this little mistake that you made half an hour into the play. Isn't that amazing, okay? And this ruins the whole triumphant moment and the whole joy, and maybe you cannot even enjoy the money that you get after such a competition in the world class. That's amazing. So you know, you ruin your moments and you deprive yourself from all the enjoyment that you should have.
Yeah, and that's, again, from a biological point of view, of course, the body is always out to look for the danger, for protecting yourself, or always looking out for how to survive something and how to do better so that your security is more guaranteed. And that's the same thing when looking always to that little mistake. It's the training and the shift in mindset, but also you need to have that kind of space in your brain to be able to do that, that on a voluntary basis, you start seeing what's good. And, you know, sometimes it's to train yourself in gratefulness. Some people say it. And in the beginning, I thought, yeah, that's all, you know, this wishy-washy thing, you know, is thinking about summing up three things that you're grateful for. Mm-hmm. But if you really think about it, it helps you to process and to really start looking at the things differently when you start practicing this. And then the more that you start practicing that, the more that you're actually integrating that into your life. That's a very important aspect that we need to start learning some of the counterbalances, you know, what it means to be relaxed, to recuperate and regenerate. What are the elements in our lives that actually bring us the joy, the elements that we say from, oh, that feels so good, and that we feel good, that really it's not just the mind thing, no, that the whole body thing goes again, to counterbalance that what is autonomous, the fight and flight freeze response. I think we should wrap this conversation up, but Christian, maybe we can just do another session like this, you know, just have a focus maybe in on a special aspect within that transformational business part where I can then see from my point of view as a body-centered stress coach and osteopath to see from how I see that element, that one specific element within the process, and that we can come together again and reflect on that to help others also reflect. Because at this moment, this is what we need to do. We need to start making people realize that these two elements are indeed very much alike, but that they also both need attention and into the transformation process, that it's not only about employing somebody to do the transformation, but also employing somebody who can help with the health-centered process for the transformational team especially.
Absolutely, Tom. Look, I've learned so much from you. I mean, we had various discussions before, but I've learned so much today for my own life. And I'm sure everybody who's watching this is reflecting what you say in their own lives. And so this is already extreme value for people. And I think what we've done, Tom, that maybe for the first time, since I didn't find anything like that in literature, really, how to transform this understanding to organizations. I mean, there is a minister of happiness in Dubai, but you know, this is a ministry and this is a position. But what do they create in people's heads and in people's bodies? Is that the true change that we want to achieve? Is the true happiness that you create? This is maybe good for them.
We should invite her and talk to her.
We do.
And,
you know?
Yeah. So if anybody out there has direct contact with the lady Minister of Happiness in United Arab Emirates, is it there? Yes. Then please contact us.
Yep.
Anyway, what we will do in the show notes, we will put your website, my website, MyersTom.com. What's yours, Christian?
YourAdvantage.com, since I try to create advantage for organizations and people and all their stakeholders.
Yes, so we will put that in the show notes. Good. And also maybe some references that we have discussed about today. So thank you very much, Christian, and speak to you next time.
Absolutely, Tom. Thank you.